This is the Oanda Podcast.
You're listening to the Oanda Market Insights Podcast, where we preview and review all the big business and market stories of the week with Oanda's senior market analysts from around the world. And today it is Ed Moyer in New York. Ed, good evening from London. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me, Johnny.
It's our pleasure. Let's start with the United States. And this week was all about the Fed and their focus on convincing markets not to worry too much about inflation, right?
Very much so. I think right now when we're taking a look at, you know, what is really driving market moves, it's all about inflation expectations. The Fed has done a very consistent job of signaling that any inflation we see is going to be transitory. I think that when you take a look at what has happened over the past 12 months, you know, inflation, you know, the hit from COVID has will have a base effect impact that is going to make any type of inflation reading these next few months look really high. And right now, you're probably going to see that the Fed has signaled that, you know, they're going to be data dependent. They're going to wait until they see inflation consistently above that 2% level for at least a year. So that means that, you know, policy is going to be on cruise control at least to the end of the year. I think we did finally hear some clarification from Vice Chair Clarida that, you know, they know the numbers are going to be very hot in the next couple of months. And they're going to see that as long as we start to see things come back down before we get to the end of the year, I think they're going to be convinced that inflation was transitory. So that means that you're going to see that the next few months is going to be, you know, high readings of PPI, CPI, and markets are probably going to anticipate that the Fed is you know, going to be fine with that. And right now it seems that if you take a look at Treasury yields, you know, the bond market sell-off, you know, for the most part hit a brick wall last week, and now it looks like we're going to see you know, the rise higher in Treasury yields should be slower. And I think that's what we're going to wait to see. You know, when will the market test the Fed's patience?
And is this having an effect at all on the dollar?
Yeah, I think right now we've seen the big run-up in Treasury yields, you know, provided a tremendous amount of flows into the dollar. And when we take a look at the disappointing European vaccine rollout, it really led to some short-term headwinds for Europe, and that's really triggered a massive inflow to the U.S. dollar. But I think there is expectations that you're going to see a weaker dollar eventually persist, and that's on the backdrop of, you know, roughly $5 trillion of stimulus getting pumped into the economy with more on its way. So I think you'll probably see money growth is just going to continue to happen in the U.S. And when the global economic recovery is finally intact, you're going to see that the dollar will eventually start to weaken.
One other story I saw in the Financial Times earlier today, Ed, the Biden administration calling for the world's biggest multinationals to pay levies to national governments based on their sales in each country. And that is part of this global minimum tax plan. And the plan apparently would apply to the global profits of the very largest companies, including the big US techs, regardless of their physical presence in a given country. Can you see this actually happening?
It's fascinating because right now, when I first heard the story, I initially chuckled. I thought that there was a slim chance that you were going to see, I think, countries all around the world, you know, be open to this. And I think the problem is that you're seeing an unbalanced economic recovery. You're having the U.S. economy that is really starting to click. You're having strong employment bounce back. You're having, you know, the U.S. can clearly see the other side of COVID, and there's so much optimism for this economy. But when you look across the rest of the world, you know, many countries are still struggling to get vaccines in their hands. They're living in lockdowns, and they're unsure whether or not they're going to be extended beyond this month. And I think that you're probably seeing that the U.S., you know, they need to pay for all the stimulus that's getting pumped into this economy, and they're going to be raising taxes. So this global minimum tax is going to help make the U.S. a little bit more competitive. You know, I think the argument was that, you know, we saw a race to the bottom over the last 30 years as everyone has been trying to lure businesses to their countries. And I think eventually this is really just the beginning of a negotiation as far as some type of tax levies that are going to get pushed through. I think this is going to be drawn out, but I can't anticipate this happening anytime soon. I think they're hopeful to have something agreed upon in the summer. I would be extremely skeptical that that could happen. And you're probably going to see, though, that this is going to be used as leverage for winning concessions on other key matters.
Okay, let's talk about oil, Ed. The surge we've seen in recent weeks seems to be well and truly over for a number of reasons, but I suppose primarily worries about the recovery. I mean, when you look at this story about the AstraZeneca vaccination, to me personally doesn't make any sense. If you look at the statistics, the risks of blood clot from an Astra jab are tiny, 1 in 250,000, 1 in 250,000. And if you compare that to the other sets of probabilities with, say, taking antibiotics, the contraceptive pill, and so on, those figures are dwarfed. It seems very, very strange that we are so worried about the recovery because of a perceived idea about this vaccination rather than the reality.
Very, very much so. And I think vaccine hesitancy is one of the big, I think, foundation arguments for why this recovery is going to be delayed. And I think what you're probably going to see is that for the most part, all the vaccines that have been approved, whether, you know, you're talking about the ones in the U.S. or even some of the Chinese ones or the Russians, the Sputnik one, they all seem to be effective and for the most part safe. And I think what you're probably seeing is there is just this movement that has really, I think, derailed a lot of optimism, and it is weighing on some people. I think in the U.S., you know, that when the AstraZeneca vaccine was, very close to getting its approval, then you started to see our health experts say, well, we probably won't need it. And I think that anything that does signals some type of negativity for the vaccine is really terrible for the outlook. So I think that this is overblown, but the impact is noticeable. And that's what really has kind of, I think, pushed the European rebound possibly by a month or so or even longer. And I think that in the end, when they do their studies and, you know, when it's all analyzed, I think you're going to probably see that these vaccines have proven to be extremely safe and effective, and I think that multiple organizations that are reviewing this, I think, have all deemed it safe and effective. So I think you're going to see that Europe's outlook is going to, you know, eventually be bright, but right now it just seems that they're still trying to fight their way through this.
Oil generally, though, obviously we had this recent crisis in the Suez Canal, which seems to have now sorted itself out. I'm not quite sure the latest statistics in terms of, you know, how much it's cost individual companies and economies. But what are we expecting in terms of the oil price generally, vaccination accepting?
I think that the consensus is slowly becoming that oil prices are going to be significantly higher when we're talking again at the end of the year. I think there's this optimism that you're going to have Americans, Europeans extremely be busy traveling again. I think that the more so it's noticeable in the U.S. ticket bookings have gone up dramatically. You have the at-risk population that has been mostly vaccinated. I think, you know, herd immunity is something that, you know, we'll be talking about in the U.S. in just a couple of months. And there's this optimism that this global economic recovery is also going to benefit from this infrastructure spending, which is really going to, I think, help support the manufacturing industry, which is going to, keep demand for crude extremely strong. You also take a look at, on the supply side, the Biden administration is making life very difficult for oil and gas companies. And I think that you're going to see the expiration of many subsidies that have helped these companies go away. And higher taxes is really going to refrain some of this investment into getting new wells in place. And that's just going to keep that supply shortage intact. I think that the days of record production from the U.S. are long gone, and you're probably going to see that prices will remain fairly supportive. And I think OPEC Plus has done a pretty stellar job in signaling that they want prices to be firm, and they're not flooding the market with output. And I think they're, for the most part, they're not scrambling for market share just yet. So I think you're going to see prices remain elevated, and there's going to be countless geopolitical risks that will keep things exciting, I think, throughout the summer. So this could be a very difficult hurricane season too. So there's so many different reasons why I think you're going to see prices elevated. And plus, we're probably in the middle of a commodity super cycle.
Okay, Ed, before we let you go, let's preview some of the big highlights in your humble opinion over the next 7 days or so.
I think next week is going to be going to be very busy. It's going to be filled with a lot of Fed and ECB speak. I think that the market is really focused on inflation, and I think that you're going to see this week's producer price readings, which really surprised many, coming in twice as hotter than the forecast. And I think you're going to see the Fed is going to really probably reiterate their stance. It's going to be transitory. But if it does run away in the short term, what are those thresholds that are going to trigger some action from the Fed? I think as long as the Fed, signals that they're ready to act, you're going to see that the move in treasury yields should be fairly capped. ECB is also going to be speaking at length. We'll hear from ECB President Lagarde. And also, too, what's going to be very interesting is there's going to be a wrath of speak on the digital euro. So I think you're going to see a lot of cryptocurrency followers pay close attention, see exactly how far the digital euro is from here. They're going to be beta testing it shortly. So a lot of focus there as well. But when it comes to data, I think, it's going to be about the German ZAW surveys. We'll have, U.S. inflation, U.S. retail sales. So we'll get a strong handle on, how strong the pricing pressures are. And also, the U.S. consumer is going to bounce back strongly. This round of retail sales is going to reflect the latest stimulus checks. So I think you're going to see a big focus on that. But for me personally, I'm going to be closely paying attention to Wednesday's big banks earnings season kickoff. I think we're going to see a lot of focus on JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo. They report before the bell. But more importantly, too, I think, we did have the Archegos Capital blow up over the past couple of weeks that have really, dominated the headlines. And I think it's going to be important to see whether or not we see some of these prime brokerages make some tighter conditions for these smaller hedge funds or family offices. And whenever you make the ability to trade a little bit harder, I think you take the leverage out of the system, we could see that have an impact on the broader market as well. So that's going to be important to focus on. And that happens on Wednesday. But those are some of the key highlights. And in addition, we have Chinese data, Chinese GDP. It is going to be bouncing back strongly. China's recovery is the strongest, as far as the larger economies out there. And I think those are the key highlights for next week.
Okay, great talking to you again. Speak to you same time next week. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
This is the Oanda Podcast.